What a magnificent sound that is. The sound of tradition and order and stability. Sit down, Miss Baxter.
Mr. Lucas...
Sit down. Splendid. Now, does your mistress know you're here?
No, sir.
Nor her distinguished husband?
No. I shouldn't be doing things behind their backs like this.
Quite right. But you are. You answered my invitation.
I didn't have much choice, did I? How did you find out? Are you really going to tell them?
Oh, no, Miss Baxter. Annie, you mustn't worry. Your employer certainly won't learn your unsavoury little secret from me. Assuming, of course, that we can come to a suitable understanding, you and I.
I haven't got any money.
Please don't insult my intelligence.
Well, then what? You want me to do something? Against the master and mistress? No!
Oh, so you do have some brains. Splendid! That will make things so much easier.
The Second Stain by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Dramatised for radio by Bert Cools, with Clive Medicine as Sherlock Holmes and Michael Williams as Dr. John Watson, and featuring Jeremy Clyde as the Foreign Secretary, Sabina Franklin as Lady Hilda Trelawney Hope, and David March as the Prime Minister. The Second Stain.
Coffee?
No, thank you.
Client? This time of the morning?
Crime doesn't operate to a timetable, Watson. I think how boring it would be if it did.
Yes, I suppose so. Be beautifully tidy, though, wouldn't it? Who do you suppose it is?
No, Watson, really, why speculate? In 30 seconds, we'll know.
Let's have a look.
Probably some routine little problem. Plain enough carriage. No illustrious clients to excite your readers this time, I'm afraid.
Come in.
Mrs. Hudson, who do you have for us this fine morning?
The Prime Minister and the Foreign Secretary, gentlemen.
And now I've told you there's nothing to see. Move along there. Clear the pavement. Clear away there.
Thank you, Baines. Good morning, Constable.
Inspector Lestrade.
So, what have you got for me?
Well, when I discovered that the document had been stolen, Mr. Holmes...
Which was when exactly?
At 8 o'clock this morning. I had once informed the Prime Minister. It was at his suggestion that we've come to you.
Have you told the police?
No, sir. To inform the police must, in the long run, be to inform the public.
Which is what we particularly want to avoid.
Why is that, Foreign Secretary?
Because the item in question is of immense importance. Its theft might very easily lead to a political crisis affecting the whole of Europe.
Good God.
Well, yes, sir.
Come on, then. Let's have it.
Well, not much to tell you yet, Inspector. He was quite a distinguished gent, seemingly. Wealthy, of course. Something of a musician. Mid-30s, lived alone.
All right, Barrett, get to the interesting bit. Who stuck the dagger in his chest?
Unless the document can be recovered with the utmost secrecy, then it may as well not be recovered at all.
Because even the simple knowledge of its existence could be damaging?
Catastrophic.
I understand. Now, Mr. Trelawney Hope, tell me exactly the circumstances under which this document disappeared.
That can be done in a very few words, Mr. Holmes. The letter...
It's a letter.
It is, sir. A letter of such importance that I never left it in my office safe overnight, but took it across each evening to my house. Whitehall Terrace, Doctor, number 9.
Whitehall Terrace, thank
you. You kept it where, exactly?
In my personal dispatch box. Locked, and the only key is here, on my watch chain.
And in which room was the box left?
Our bedroom. The letter was there last night. I'm certain of that.
You actually saw it?
I did, Doctor. I opened the box while I was dressing for dinner. It was there. And this morning, it was gone.
What time did you dine?
7:30.
How long was it before you went to bed?
Well, my wife had gone to the theatre. I waited up for her. It was 11:30 before we went to our room.
Then for 4 hours, the dispatch box was unguarded.
Well, no one is permitted to enter that room, save the housemaid in the morning and my valet and my wife's maid during the rest of the day. They are all trusted servants.
No doubt.
And besides, none of them could possibly have known there was anything more valuable than usual in the box.
Yeah, who did know of the letter?
No one in the house.
Surely your wife knew.
No, sir. Until this morning, I haven't breathed one word to my wife about this matter.
Could she have guessed?
No, Mr. Holmes, she could not have guessed. And to answer your question, besides the members of the Cabinet, there are 2, possibly 3 departmental officials who know of the letter. No one else in England.
But abroad?
We believe that no one has seen it save the man who wrote it.
Well, well. I must ask you more particularly what this singular document is.
The envelope is a long, thin one of pale blue colour. There is a seal of red wax stamped with a crouching lion. It is addressed...
Prime Minister, interesting as these details are, my inquiries must go more to the root of things. What was the letter?
That is a state secret of the utmost importance. I cannot tell you. Nor do I see that it is necessary.
I'm sorry, gentlemen. I can't help you.
Mr. Holmes.
And any continuation of this interview would be a waste of time. Good morning.
I'm sorry, Inspector.
That's all right, Mrs. Pringle, I understand. How long have you been housekeeper here?
9 years, sir. He was such a good man. Who would want to do such a terrible thing?
That's what I want to find out. Now, what time did you go to bed last night?
At 9:30, sir.
Were there any callers after that?
Well, I didn't hear anyone, sir. No one at all.
Mr. Holmes, I am not accustomed to being treated in this manner. We must accept your terms. You are right. It is unreasonable to expect you to act unless we give you our entire confidence.
I agree with you, sir.
I rely on your honour. And that of your colleague.
You may safely trust us, Prime Minister.
I appeal to your patriotism, too. I could not imagine a greater misfortune for the country than that this affair should come out. The letter is from a certain foreign potentate who has been ruffled by some of our recent colonial developments. It was written hurriedly and on his own responsibility. It is so provocative that its publication would lead to such a ferment. Gentlemen, within a week this country would be at war.
I've been his valet for 3 years. This is a hell of a thing.
Get on well, did you?
What are you saying?
Nothing. Answer the question.
Yeah, we got on very well. He trusted me. He used to leave me in charge of the house when he went abroad.
Did that happen often?
He used to go to France a fair bit. Paris, you know.
And you had the run of this place while he was gone. Where were you last night?
Hammersmith, visiting some people.
What time did you leave?
About 10:30.
And you didn't get here until gone midnight?
It was a fine evening. I walked.
When you saw that the police were here... You hesitated at the end of the street. Why?
Of course I hesitated. It's only natural, isn't it?
Is it now?
So, this letter may well mean the expenditure of £1,000,000,000 and the lives of hundreds of thousands of men.
And I... I've lost it.
No one can blame you, my dear fellow.
Prime Minister, if this letter were to be published, who would gain?
Mr. Holmes, the whole of Europe is an armed camp. There is a double league which makes a fair balance of military power. Great Britain holds the scales. If we were driven into war against one confederacy, it would assure the supremacy of the other.
Whether they joined in the war or no.
Then it's in the interests of the enemies of this potentate. They want to publish the letter to make a breach between his country and ours.
Exactly so, Doctor.
Well, if it did fall into the hands of an enemy, where would this document be sent?
To any of the great chancelleries of Europe.
It's probably speeding there now, as fast as steam can take it.
Now, Mr. Holmes, you are in full possession of the facts. What course do you recommend?
This letter was taken yesterday evening between 7:30 and 11:30, probably nearer the former.
How can you say that?
Well, the thief obviously knew it was there and would naturally want to secure it as soon as possible. And after the theft, well, no one has any reason to retain it. As you say, Foreign Secretary, it's surely been passed rapidly from hand to hand onto those who can make use of it. What chance have we now to overtake it, or even to trace it?
Your reasoning is perfectly logical, Mr. Holmes, but there must be something we can do.
You think that unless this document is recovered, there will be war?
I think it is very probable.
Then, sir, prepare for war. All right, now, everyone together. Lift! That's steady there. That's it. Good.
That blood's made a pretty mess of the carpet. Get yourself home, Barrett.
Oh, are you sure, sir?
Yes, go on. I'll hold the fort here till the next shift comes on. I want to have a look round anyway.
Thank you, sir. Why do you think he was killed, Inspector?
Well, not for money. Some of these weapons are worth a mint.
Funny sort of hobby, collecting knives.
The ways of the idle rich. We'll never fathom them, Barrett. They're a different race.
I don't think they expected you to be quite that pessimistic. The second editions.
The situation is desperate.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, but not hopeless.
No?
No. I may have been over hasty. Now, think about the chain. Yes, the thief. Now, let's presume for the moment that the thief is one of the Foreign Secretary's household.
All trusted servants.
The thief, the butler, say, has the letter. Where would he take it?
Any one of the great chancelleries of Europe.
Well, yes, but our butler could hardly deliver it himself.
What then?
Well, he'd go, or he'd be instructed to go, to an agent.
What sort of agent?
An international agent, the sort that specialises in precisely this type of affair.
A spy?
Exactly. Now, if someone like that has it, well, it's just possible that he hasn't passed it on yet.
Even so, what could you do? If we're not allowed to involve the police.
International agents. Yes, it's all a question of money with those men. Yes, and I have the British Treasury behind me.
You'll buy it?
Even if it means another penny on the income tax.
Small enough price to avoid a war.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, there are only three agents in London capable of playing so bold a game. I'll go round and check on each of them. Oberstein, La Rothier, and Eduardo Lucas.
Is that Eduardo Lucas of Godolphin Street, Westminster?
Yes.
You won't see him.
Why not?
He was murdered last night. Stabbed through the heart with an Indian dagger.
Annie? Annie, are you all right?
Yes. Yes, Mr. Fenton.
For goodness sake, her ladyship will be back any minute. What in the world is the matter with you?
The room was in a state of wild disorder, the furniture being all swept to one side, and one chair lying on its back in the centre. Beside this chair, and still grasping one of its legs, lay the unfortunate tenant of the house.
Well, what do you make of it?
It's an amazing coincidence.
Coincidence? The events are connected. They must be connected. Yes, it remains for us to find the connection.
But by now, the police must know everything.
They know all they've seen at Godolphin Street. They know nothing of Whitehall Terrace.
No, of course not. No. Unless they've actually found the letter at Lucas' house.
Mrs. Hudson?
Another visitor, gentlemen. Her card.
Thank you. Holmes?
Lady Hilda Trelawney Hope. Mrs. Hudson, please ask her ladyship if she'll be kind enough to step up.
Yes, sir.
Our modest little apartment, certainly being honoured today. What do you know of her?
Only what all England knows. Youngest daughter of the Duke of Belminster. Married Hope some 5 years ago. Big society wedding, naturally.
Naturally. Mm.
And the loveliest woman in London. So they say.
Well, here's your chance to verify the rumours.
Lady Hilda Trelawney Hope, gentlemen.
Good morning, madam. I am Sherlock Holmes, my colleague, Dr. John Watson.
Your ladyship.
Gentlemen, has my husband been here?
Yes, madam, he has. Won't you sit down and tell us what you want?
Oh.
Allow me.
Thank you. No.
As you prefer.
Mr. Holmes, Dr. Watson, I will speak frankly to you in the hope that you will speak frankly in return. There is complete confidence between my husband and me on all matters save one. That one is politics.
Indeed.
Now, I'm aware that there was a most deplorable occurrence in our house last night. I know that a paper has disappeared. My husband has told me that much. But he refuses to take me into his complete confidence. I beg you to tell me everything.
Your ladyship asks the impossible.
You must tell me what has happened and what it will lead to. What was this paper that was stolen?
If your husband sees fit to keep you in the dark, is it for us to tell you? We have only learned the truth under the pledge of professional secrecy.
Mr. Holmes, I assure you that your client's interests would best be served by taking me into his complete confidence. If only he would see that! Gentlemen, you must tell me.
Madam, it is your husband you must ask.
I have asked him. I come to you only as a last resource.
We cannot help you.
Very well. But without telling me anything definite, Mr. Holmes, would you enlighten me on one point?
What is it?
Is my husband's political career likely to suffer through this incident?
Unless it's set right, it may certainly have a very unfortunate effect.
In the first shock of this disaster, my husband did let one thing slip. Am I correct in thinking that there will also be terrible public consequences?
If he said so, I certainly cannot deny it.
Then I will take up no more of your time. Do not think badly of me. All I wish is to share my husband's anxieties.
Your ladyship?
I beg you, say nothing to my husband of this visit.
Now, Watson, the fair sex is your department. What did she really want?
Look, Inspector, how much longer are you going to keep us hanging round in here? I've got things to be seeing to.
And so have I. There's so much to do.
People to inform, arrangements to make. You know how it is.
Oh, I know how it is, Mitten. I know exactly how it is.
What do you mean?
This is what I mean.
You've been going through my stuff. You've no right.
I've every right. Nice piece of workmanship, this. Inlaid mahogany, silver clasp. Elegant spot of lining and a very handsome razor. Bit out of your class, isn't it?
Listen, I can explain.
No? Perhaps you can also explain the monogram inside the lid. E.L. Eduardo Lucas, your late employer.
Inspector, you're making a mistake.
Please, Mrs. Pringle. I'm sure he can answer for himself. Well, Mitten? Not quite so cocksure now, are we?
He gave it to me. It was a present.
This isn't the only thing we found. Cufflinks, tie-pins. Quite a nice little haul.
They was all presents, every one of them.
Presents you helped yourself to when your master's back was turned. Handy, were they? Those trips to Paris? Until he caught you at it.
No!
What are you talking about?
You want me to spell it out, do you? Mr. Lucas found out just how light-fingered you were. And he had it out with you last night. In his study, with all those knives so conveniently to hand.
Oh, this is insane!
There was a row, it turned into a fight, and that was that.
She wants to share her husband's worry. That's natural enough, surely.
Yes, but beneath the surface, excitement, restlessness, barely suppressed.
She was certainly much moved. I don't think I'd go further than that.
Now, remember, she comes of a caste who don't lightly show emotion.
Oh, come on, under the circumstances.
You observed, of course, that she deliberately stood with her back to the light.
Well?
She didn't want me to see her expression.
Oh, Holmes.
Well, you could be right. The motives of women are so inscrutable. Their most trivial action can mean volumes, and their most extraordinary conduct depend on a hairpin or a pair of curling tongs. How do you build on such a quicksand?
Oh, here we are. Godolphin Street.
Inspector Lestrade?
Mr. Holmes. Doctor, good afternoon.
How are you, Inspector?
Busy, Doctor, if you don't mind me saying so. Hardly in your line, this one, Mr. Holmes.
Oh?
Perfectly straightforward. The whole thing's solved.
You have the murderer?
The official force don't always need assistance in these matters, you know. We're perfectly capable of managing on our own.
Yes, of course you are, Inspector.
Thank you, Doctor. Yes, Mr. Holmes, I've got my man. No doubt you'll be able to read all about it in the papers this evening.
No doubt.
Now, gentlemen, I must be about my business, and this house must be secured. So unless you've got some particular reason to be interested...
Well, none at all, Lestrade.
Just curiosity, eh?
Hmm.
Things a bit slack at present, are they?
Mm.
Well, no doubt they'll pick up before too long. If anything out of the common does come my way, I'll let you know.
Tell me just one thing, if you would.
What's that?
Have you had time to go through the dead man's papers?
I've made time. Standard procedure.
Oh, of course, of course. Did you find anything interesting?
Not a thing. It's all as dull as ditch water.
Look, I know things are looking bad, but you really must...
Doctor, please, don't tell me to relax.
I was about to say eat something.
No, not yet.
You haven't touched the thing for a day and a half. Making yourself ill isn't going to help. And neither is that. Not at the rate you're getting through them. You've not heard any news at all?
No, nothing.
Now, the Lucas case... Still in all the papers.
Huh? Died 2 days ago and not forgotten yet.
Holmes, do you want to hear or not?
I've seen it. Lestrade has let the ballot go. Lack of evidence. So surely you weren't surprised.
No, not at all. Do you see that they've gone through all of Lucas' effects?
Yes, and found nothing out of the ordinary. Yes, I've seen it all.
There is something new this morning. Information that came out of the inquest.
Huh? They've not uncovered his true occupation?
No.
Yes, I thought not. Too well concealed, buried away under the glittering surface.
Yes, glittering is right.
Mm.
The deceased was a keen student of international politics. A remarkable linguist, a traveller, and one of the finest amateur tenors in the country. His habits were regular, his personality charming, his conduct inoffensive. His relations with women...
Yes, what's it say?
His relations with women appear to have been promiscuous but superficial. Mr. Lucas was known as an indefatigable gossip, a trait that must have contributed greatly to his appeal for the fair sex.
An indefatigable gossip.
Hmm. Is that relevant?
Perhaps. Perhaps.
Oh. Annie, where are my gloves?
Here, my lady.
What do you mean by keeping me waiting?
Sorry, my lady, here you are.
Stupid girl, not these, the plain white. What's the matter with you lately?
I'm sorry. I've not been well, that's all. I'm sorry.
For pity's sake, stop apologising every 5 minutes.
Your ladyship. Shall I get the other gloves?
No. These will have to do. I'm in a hurry. Now listen carefully. Tell Fenton that if my husband returns from the house before I'm back, he's to say I'll be in before 9. You understand?
Before 9. Yes, your ladyship.
But for the love of heaven, try to pull yourself together, girl. Whatever's the matter with you, do something about it.
Now, you realise, miss, that by rights I shouldn't be doing this, but I can't see that it'll do any harm. Now, this is the room where it happened. You've no need to fret. He's no here anymore, but everything else is just the way it was. Ready? Well, then, you look at this.
Oh,
Aye, it's quite a sight, isn't it? Who'd have thought the poor soul had so much blood in him? Oh, my God. Miss? Miss? Oh, my good God.
Listen to this. Sensational development in the Lucas case.
Hmm? What is it?
Killer identified.
Well, who was it? Anyone relevant to us?
No, I'm afraid not. It was his wife.
His wife? I thought he was unmarried.
Yes, so did his host of lady friends. No. He was married in Paris under the name of Henri Fournet.
A double life. Yeah. You remember, he was often abroad for months at a stretch.
It seems that Madame Fournet has just been diagnosed as insane. Wait. Yes. Mania of a dangerous and permanent form, attacks of frenzy. The French police discovered that she'd just returned from a visit to London. And apparently she was actually seen outside the house. Here. There, you see?
Doesn't help us much.
Oh, surely it's final as regards the man's death.
The man's death is a mere incident, a trivial episode.
Holmes, no man's death is trivial.
Well, in comparison with our real task, to trace this document and prevent a catastrophe, only one important thing has happened in the last 3 days, and that is that nothing has happened. I get reports hourly from Mycroft. There's no sign of trouble anywhere in Europe.
So at least we know that the letter can't be loose.
But if it isn't loose, then where can it be? Who has it? Why is it held back? And that's the question that beats in my brain like a hammer.
So do you think it was a coincidence, after all, that Lucas was killed on the night of the theft?
Did the letter reach him? If it did, why isn't it amongst his papers? Did this mad wife of his carry it off with her? Is it in her house in Paris?
Perhaps we should go to Paris.
Well, how could I search for it without arousing the suspicions of the French police? Oh, this is a case where the law is as dangerous to us as the criminals are.
It does seem as if every man's hand is against us.
But the interests at stake are colossal. Watson, if I bring this to a successful conclusion, it will certainly be the crowning glory of my career.
Yes, Mrs. Hudson?
Another telegram, Mr. Holmes.
My latest news from the front.
Holmes, that's in extremely bad taste.
I'm wrong. It's from Lestrade. He says he's found something that will interest us.
Well, it's a trifle, really. But the sort of thing you take an interest in. Queer, you know. Freakish, even.
What is it, Inspector?
Now, you know, after a murder, we're always careful to keep things in their exact position. Nothing's been moved. A constable here day and night. Standard procedure.
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, now that our French friends have solved it for us, the whole matter's closed. So we thought we could tidy up a bit. And when we lifted up this carpet, do you know what we found?
What did you find?
You'll never guess in 100 years.
Tell us, Inspector.
I'll show you, Doctor. Look at the bloodstain on the carpet there.
What about it?
Well, a good deal of blood must have soaked through, mustn't it?
Yes, of course.
Then you'll be surprised to see this. There's no corresponding stain on the parquet underneath.
No stain. At the bottom of the carpet's as marked as the top. There's got to be a stain.
Now I'll show you the explanation.
No stain on the woodwork.
Look, there is a second stain, but it's over here, under this corner. What do you make of that?
Simple enough. The two stains did correspond, but the carpet's been turned round through 90 degrees.
Exactly. But what I want to know is this. Who shifted the carpet and why? Mr. Holmes?
Lestrade, the constable outside. Has he been on duty there all the time?
Him and one other, in shifts.
There's an excellent chance. Talk to him, interrogate him.
What, do you think he moved the carpet?
I think he knows who did. Tell him you know that someone's been in here. Say that a full confession is his only chance of forgiveness.
By George, if he does know, I'll have it out of him. Thank you, Mr. Holmes. Constable MacPherson?
Now, Watson, now, the carpet. What are you looking for? This.
you going to look inside?
No.
No? But is it there?
Watson, of course not.
Holmes!
But, sir, if you just let
quick, get it back again.
Yourself, lucky you're not explaining to the Chief Constable. Get in here, Macpherson.
Inspector.
And let these gentlemen hear about your inexcusable conduct.
I meant no harm, sir, I'm sure. The young woman came to the door last evening, mistook the house she did, and then we got talking.
Talking, indeed.
It's lonesome when you're on duty here all day.
Oh, lonesome. Good God above!
And what happened then, Constable?
She wanted to see where the crime was done. She'd read about it in the paper, she said. I saw no harm in letting her have a peep.
Who was she? Do you know?
I don't know the name, sir. She was answering an advertisement about typewriting and came to the wrong number.
What was she like?
She was very respectable, well-spoken young woman, sir.
Not a lady?
Not from her dress or her speech, sir, no.
A servant, perhaps?
If she was, sir, she'd be from an uncommon fine house and in a good position.
Indeed.
Aye, sir, that would be my thought.
What happened when you showed her in here?
Well, sir, when she saw that bloodstain on the carpet, down she dropped and lay as if she were dead.
Yes, and you, no doubt, ran round the corner to the public house.
The ivy plant, aye, sir.
For some medicinal brandy.
It seemed the only thing to do, sir, at the time. Only, by the time I brought it back, the young woman had recovered and was off. Ashamed of herself, I dare say. Didn't want to face me.
Yes, no doubt. Now, Constable Macpherson, did you move the carpet?
I straightened it out a touch, yes, sir. You see, it had got a bit rumpled.
Yes, of course it had. Thank you, Constable.
Sir.
Let this be a lesson to you that you can't deceive me, Macpherson. No doubt you thought that your breach of duty would never be discovered, but a mere glance at that carpet told me that someone had been let into this room. A mere glance.
Thank you, Lestrade. You were quite right. It was most interesting.
Yes, indeed.
My pleasure, gentlemen. And as for you, Macpherson, it's lucky that nothing was taken or you'd find yourself in Queer Street.
Inspector.
No one else gets through this door without my permission. Is that clear?
Perfectly clear, sir.
Good. Well, if you'll excuse me, gentlemen.
Yes, of course, of course. Good day, Lestrade.
Inspector.
Constable Macpherson.
Sir?
A private word, if you please.
Well, my friend, you'll be relieved to hear that there will be no war.
My dear Holmes.
What's more, with a little tax and management on our part, nobody will be a penny the worse for what might have been a very ugly incident.
You've solved it.
Yes, I have.
Mr. Holmes? Dr. Watson?
Lady Hilda?
Mr. Holmes, this is most ungenerous of you. I explained that I wanted to keep my connection with you a secret, and yet you openly come and visit me in my own house.
Unfortunately, madam, I had no possible alternative.
Indeed?
Indeed. I've been commissioned to recover this immensely important paper. I must therefore ask you to be kind enough to place it in my hands.
You insult me, Mr. Holmes.
Come, come, madam. It's useless. Give up the letter.
The butler shall show you up.
Do not ring, Lady Hilda. If you do, then all my efforts to avoid a scandal will be frustrated.
Give up the letter, and all will be set right. If you don't, you must inevitably be exposed.
You're trying to frighten me. It's not a very manly thing to come here and browbeat a woman.
Lady Hilda, won't you sit down?
Excellent advice, madam. I will not speak until you do sit down.
I will give you 5 minutes.
One is enough. I know that you removed the document from your husband's dispatch box and gave it to Eduardo Lucas. Just as I also know that, secure in the knowledge of his death, you returned to his room last night and took the letter back again from the hiding place under the carpet.
You're mad.
Your plan for getting back into the house was ingenious. Congratulations on your performance.
I tell you, I haven't the remotest idea...
The loveliest woman in London.
Mr. Holmes?
Your picture is in all the society journals. Most convenient. Constable Macpherson recognized you at once.
Lady Hilda, we've no desire to bring trouble to you. Please be frank with us.
It's your only chance.
I tell you again, you're under some absurd delusion.
Well, then I'm sorry for you, Lady Hilda. I've done my best, but it was in vain. Is your husband at home?
No, I expect him at one, with the Prime Minister.
Oh. 10 minutes. We shall wait.
Yes, yes, you're right. You're right in every detail. Though how in the world you found out? You can't know the relief to admit it at last. You may believe this or not, gentlemen, as you choose, but it was for my husband I did it. I'd cut off my right hand before I gave him a moment of sorrow. For heaven's sake, don't tell him. It would break his heart.
Where is the letter?
Would to heaven I'd never seen it. Here it is.
Now, where's the dispatch box? Does your husband have it with him?
No, not this morning. It's still in our bedroom.
Take us there. Quickly, give me the key.
Mr. Holmes.
The duplicate key, the one you used before.
I threw it away. I couldn't bear to have it in my possession.
Madam. Watson.
Holmes?
I don't know if I can do this. Be so good as to keep a check on the time for me.
Just gone 7 minutes to one.
7 minutes to one. Very well. Lady Hilda.
Mr. Holmes.
Some details of this affair are still not clear to me. I presume that Lucas was blackmailing you.
Yes, that was the exact case. He had a letter of mine, a very foolish letter, written before my marriage, to a friend. I meant no harm, but my husband would have thought it criminal.
6 minutes, Holmes.
When Lucas contacted me, I thought he wanted money. I was wrong. It was to be an exchange. If I gave him Arthur's letter, he would return mine. I should dearly love to know how that man laid his hands on it.
In cases of this sort, I'm afraid it's usually through someone on the household staff.
I would have sworn to their loyalty.
It's possible that Lucas had some hold over one of them. Has any servant shown signs of unusual behaviour recently?
My God, Annie, my maid. Huh? I've had to speak to her more than once.
If it was her, she might well have thought that the murder inquiry would uncover her connection with Lucas. She's probably been terrified.
How dare she do this to me?
Yes, as I said, to protect some secret of her own. Wow. Yes, the threat of scandal is as powerful for a maid as it is for a mistress. Perhaps more so.
Hardly, sir.
A serving girl dismissed without a character will never get another place. In 2 months she'll be on the streets, and inside 12 she'll probably be dead. And this Annie stole your letter to buy her own safety, just as you stole your husband's.
I tell you, I didn't do it for myself. I did it for Arthur. If Lucas had sent him my letter, he would have allowed himself only one course of action, whatever the public consequences. Our marriage would have been at an end, and with it his honour, perhaps even his career. What was I to do?
Take him into your confidence.
I couldn't.
How did you get the duplicate key?
I took an impression of my husband's. Lucas told me what to do. He had the key made. He arranged everything. He knew exactly when the letter would be there and what it would look like.
Yes, he had an agent in the Foreign Office, no doubt.
He boasted of it. Called the government fools that they could be so easily deceived. But he assured me that no harm would come to my husband, and I took the letter. It was simple.
When you returned with it to Lucas?
We made the exchange. It was all very formal. Then, as I opened the door to leave, it was like some fearful dream, a woman screaming in French. I turned away from her, and I saw Lucas just closing the secret compartment under the carpet. That's how I knew where it was. Then the woman pushed past me into the room, and I ran. I was happy. I had my letter. If I'd known what the future would bring...
Clearly, your happiness didn't last long.
The next morning, I realized that all I'd done was exchange one trouble for another.
When your husband confided in you about the theft of the letter...
Yes, his reaction was so terrible. I knew that Lucas had lied to me. The little you told me confirmed it. My husband's entire future, perhaps even the safety of the realm, was at stake, and I was the cause. All I could think of was getting the letter back. I was terrified that Lucas would pass it on, or sell it, or do whatever he planned to do.
And then, presumably, you read of his death.
God help me, I rejoiced at it. I knew that the letter must still be where he'd hidden it. All I had to do was get into that room. All.
You succeeded brilliantly.
Oh, I got the letter. Then I realized the truth. What use was it? I couldn't return it. I couldn't confess. I couldn't do anything. The whole thing had been in vain.
No, Lady Hilda. If you hadn't gone back there, if you hadn't replaced the carpet so carelessly in your rush, Holmes never would have seen the truth. And so now, God willing, we can set everything right.
Time.
2 minutes to one.
Mr. Holmes!
Fear not, your ladyship.
Mr. Holmes!
Sir, what you are saying is preposterous.
I think not, Prime Minister. I am convinced that the letter has never left this house.
Preposterous!
If it had, surely it would have been made public by now.
But why should anyone take it in order to keep it here? Well, thank you, Fenton. Here, if you please.
I'm not convinced that anyone did take it.
Then how could it leave the dispatch box?
I'm not convinced that it did.
Mr. Holmes, this joking is very ill-timed.
Have you examined the box since the theft?
No. It hasn't been necessary.
Well, you may conceivably have overlooked it.
Oh, impossible.
I've known such things happen. I presume there are other papers in there.
You're saying it could have got mixed in with them? Oh, this is ridiculous.
Well, it's easily checked. Hope?
Prime Minister. Now, letter from Lord Morrow. Report from Sir Charles Hardy. Memorandum from Belgrade. Note on the Russo-German grain taxes. Letter from Madrid. Note from Lord Flowers. Prime Minister!
This is it. And the letter is intact. Hope I congratulate you.
Mr. Holmes, you're a wizard. A sorcerer. How did you know it was there?
Because I knew it was nowhere else.
Hilda! Gentlemen, you must excuse me. Hilda, my dear!
Mr. Holmes?
Sir?
There is more in this than meets the eye. How did the letter get back in the box? Where did you find it?
Prime Minister, we also have our diplomatic secrets.
In The Second Stain, Sherlock Holmes was played by Clive Medicine and Dr. Watson by Michael Williams. With David March as the Prime Minister, Jeremy Clyde as the Foreign Secretary, and Sabina Franklin as Lady Hilda Trelawney Hope. Mrs. Hudson was played by Joan Matheson, Inspector Lestrade by Donald G., Eduardo Lucas by Keith Drinkle, his valet Mitten by James Telfer, Annie Baxter by Melanie Hudson, Mrs. Pringle by Jill Graham, Constable Barrett by Matthew Morgan, and Fenton the Butler by John Fleming. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The violinist was Leonard Friedman. The Second Stain was dramatized for radio by Bert Cools and directed by Enid Williams.